Darren, President Joe Biden has put forth his budget proposals for the 24-25 fiscal year. These budgets are usually dead on arrival, but they do give us an indication of the policy prescriptions that the president puts forward. You've been looking specifically at his proposals relative to energy. Let's start out with your overall thoughts on what the president is proposing.
I think that it's important for people to recognize the budget request, that it's more than just the money. It does, as you said, reflect on the policy priorities of an administration. I mean, on the money side, the budget request is $7.3 trillion, which is a lot of money, and it includes a lot of increased spending and taxes. So I think that tells you a little bit about some of their priorities, is more money, more spending, and then imposing taxes. And then on the energy and environmental side, we're just seeing more doubling down on the types of energy and environmental policies that Biden administration has been pushing from the start of its administration, including a lot of subsidies for renewable energy, trying to change the way electricity is produced in this country from reliable sources to less reliable sources, and creating an environment where there's just more regulation on businesses and just individuals, and a lot of restrictions on freedom. So that's really a lot of the focus is on climate issues and advancing the Inflation Reduction Act, which the Biden administration supported and which passed about a year and a half ago.
Taking a look at his proposals here, Darren, when you talk about the fossil fuel industry, taken together, his proposals, his policies, what impact are they having on exploration and development? You referenced a lot of the priority is on so-called renewables. We'll talk a bit more about that. But we right now are dependent on fossil fuels. Are we still able to develop our resources in that area?
We are, to be honest. We are developing the fossil fuel resources. But the way that exploration and production work with fossil fuels is it's not like you make a decision today and then the impact is expect a change tomorrow in terms of the actual production. There's a little bit of a time lag. So while we're seeing a decent amount of production right now of fossil fuels, the action that's taken now down the line will have an impact. And what the Biden administration has been doing is withdrawing oil lease sales, making it very difficult to drill offshore. In fact, the Biden administration has been boasting about the fact that they're making it so difficult to access oil and gas resources. They're continuously making it more difficult by imposing kind of taxes and more creating more obstacles for the production and use of fossil fuels, not just in terms of the production side, but also on the demand side, from being able to use what kind of appliances you want to use to kind of drive the kind of cars you want to drive. So all these things will have an impact. So we may not see it today exactly, but we know that decisions are being made by regulated parties that will be impacted. So in a matter of a couple of years, if we keep going down this path, we'll certainly see severe restrictions on the fossil fuel availability for Americans. And that will further exacerbate prices. They're already high, as we all know.
Do you see a disconnect here, Darren, between the policies the Biden administration is proposing? For example, the fact that the EPA is trying to force a faster conversion to electric vehicles, yet we have seen major auto manufacturers cut back on the number of EVs that they're producing because there's simply no consumer demand for it. Is the economy and the free market going one direction and the Biden administration going another direction on this?
Yes, they're disconnected from the reality of what consumers want, and also technological feasibility. They're also disconnected from any type of belief in actually allowing people to have individual freedom, at least as it relates to the vehicle tailpipe rule that we're referring to. I think it shows a real arrogance by the administration to try to dictate really what kind of cars people should drive, and that's exactly what the administration is trying to do.
As we look at the energy grid, we, of course, are now in the time of year where we don't have as much of a strain on it because we don't have extreme heat or cold at the moment. We're going to get there in just a couple of months. In terms of all these renewables, we have seen some shortages, close to blackouts in some parts of the country, Texas, California, other areas. The Biden administration's policies, are they going to just fan the flames, if you will, of not having enough of supply put into our energy grid, let alone the strain of taking more out of it for EVs.
Yes, you've identified a key problem. It's that double whammy of making it more difficult to produce electricity while at the same time putting more pressure on the electricity grid. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know if it's going to take some major blackout somewhere, but there's a very good chance something like that will happen. And the administration, I'm not sure that they simply don't care or what, or if they just don't recognize the fact that the pressure that they're putting on the grid in terms of simply not being able to have reliable electricity sources is going to hurt. And then, you have to demand more electricity because of electric vehicles and electric appliances and everything else. They want to make everything electric. They're trying to electrify everything. And it's hard to do that just generally, but it's especially hard to do that when you're doing everything you can to make it possible for the electricity grid to meet the needs of Americans.
So we have the Biden administration putting out all these budget priorities. As I said at the offset, a lot of times these budget proposals are dead on arrival. Do you see a robust debate taking place in Congress now over energy policy?
The week of the 21st of March is what's referred to as Energy Week in the House by the House Republicans. And so there's a bit of focus on energy issues. That's good. It's getting attention. They're considering a series of bills in the House on various issues. Now, on the budget itself, I don't know how much robust debate there will be, because quite honestly, there doesn't seem to be much discussion on budget or appropriations issues generally. A lot of the appropriations issues get dealt with behind the scenes, and there's not type of openness that we should see. However, there's certainly going to be plenty of pushback, and I don't see a lot of I think, like you said, a lot of this the Biden administration's pushing, it'll be dead on arrival. For example, they continue to want to have more money for the EPA, and that's just unlikely to happen. In fact, the EPA this past year, fiscal year cycle, actually got less money. So that's good. So I don't think that anybody should look at the budget request and think that's necessarily what's going to happen, but I think it's a good indication of where the Biden administration wants to go and where a lot of its allies want to go in terms of energy and environmental policy.
Darren Bask is director of the Center for Energy and Environment and a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Darren, tell us a little bit about CEI, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and where can folks go online to learn more?
And to answer your second question, you can visit us at CEI.org, and Competitive Enterprise Institute is a think tank. It's an organization that tries to advance policies that protect our individual freedom and reduce the scope of the administrative state. And we want to ensure that Congress is making the decisions that affect our lives, not the unelected bureaucrats. Really, it's about limited government, individual freedom. And, that sounds pretty good to a lot of us, and I hope it sounds good to all the listeners as well, and most Americans for that matter.
Darren Bask of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Darren, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.